Michelle.
Hey, Rue.
Your nails look gorgeous.
As usual.
Now, have you always used the same person here in LA?
No. You know, when I moved to each city, the bane of my existence is finding a really good doctor that can deal with my hypochondriac neuroses. And
wait a minute. Is that a joke?
No.
No.
I'm crazy.
Finding a psychiatrist?
No, like a medical doctor that I can call at any given time and tell them that I'm dying and they'll see me.
Yeah.
And the other goal is to find a really good nail person.
Right.
And it takes a long time.
I bet they're really, really gorgeous. Now, yeah. I'm still recovering from having acrylics all summer.
You need a recovery mode. Yeah. I told you, are you using nail teaks? Are you putting the stuff?
No, she's putting the stuff
nail
on
teaks,
me. Yeah.
No,
is that what that is?
They look great.
Yeah, well, they're still, you know, they're still damaged.
Barely, you know, compared to what mine look like. You don't even want to see what mine look like. They're shredded.
Yeah, they look like a horror film.
Horror film.
Yeah.
So for me, it takes time. It took me, I mean, until I just found this one like last year from Anastasia. Singer Anastasia.
Oh, okay. Is that the way you find a nail person, is through friends and referrals?
How I do it is when I moved to new cities, like for radio, that's the only reason I moved over the years. I would actually go up to people in the grocery store or wherever I saw them that had nice nails and go, where do you go?
Uh-huh.
That's how I find. Same thing like when you see tattoo people that have tattoos and you're looking for a good tattoo artist. Always ask people who have great work where they got it done. And that's the best way with hair and nails, I find.
Right.
So for here, I went through.
And probably weed.
Probably weed if you're into that type of stuff. I know about weed killer.
Uh-huh.
Just don't know about weed. So always ask people. Just go up and say, where do you get your nails done?
Yeah. Now, you are wearing extensions.
Yes.
Are they tied or glued into your
head?
They
are taped.
What?
I do tape-ins.
What does that mean?
It's a new generation. So one half of the hair comes like this. The other half of the hair comes like this. You put your hair in the middle, and it's like medical grade tape. And then you heat it with a straightening iron.
Why? Now, isn't that putting a lot of stress on your own natural hair?
It can for some people, but for the most people, they find this is the easiest way. Like, I can't do those individual little bead things because they rip my hair out. My hair is very fine. Just down and out of the shower. It's pretty.
Yeah.
When I put it up, they go really flat against your head, so you can't even clock them.
Right.
And that's what works best for me when I tour all the time.
Right. Because you went to Europe. You were in Scotland. You went on the tour of the boat.
Alan Chuck cruise, the Drag Stars at Sea.
Which took you where? I saw pictures of Alaska overlooking Prague, maybe?
No, not even close.
Nope.
Spain and Portugal, but okay. Different part of the world. It's okay. We did Spain and Portugal this time, but we had a pre-cum stay in London, Paris, and Amsterdam. And what I love about the Euro cruise.
No, you said that very fast.
London, Paris, Amsterdam.
I've heard of those places.
But after we wrapped Drag Race, I went right over to London to work on Celebrity Big Brother a bit on the side.
Right.
So I did that for 2.5 weeks. And then I met my family in Amsterdam and my husband and my girls. And then we did the whole thing together, which is why I love the Euro cruise, because it's very small.
Right.
I think they limit it to 200. So it's a really tight-knit group. The girls are chill. The people are chill. And we have a great time. And I get to bring my husband and my daughters.
I see.
And it's a great learning experience for them as well.
Had your kids been to Europe before?
No.
First time?
First time.
And what did they think?
Loved it. Really loved. I thought Amsterdam or London would be the hot spot for them, but Lily fell in love with Paris.
Of course, darling.
Of course. And Spain, where she got to speak Spanish. She's very good at it. And Lola just kind of loved it all. She's kind of a true blue American and really loves America. But Lily, I know I'm going to lose Lily too. The other parts of the world. 100% probably starting in college.
Wow.
So it was a great experience, and what a wonderful group of people that we cruise with.
All right, so ask me what I've been doing since.
Well, I know you went to Hawaii.
I went to Maui for just a week.
Did you get the relaxation that you needed?
Sort of. You know, for me, the real relaxation would happen if I were not around other people.
Right.
You know, the truth is, and you know this very well, people make me anxious.
Right.
You know, and so, but we had a great time. We stayed at the Four Seasons on Maui.
Was it just you and George?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then ate pancakes every morning.
Oh, yes.
We went parasailing, snorkeling.
You?
Yeah.
You weren't scared.
No. I don't have fear of that.
I'm not scared of the up. I'm scared of the down.
No, there's nothing to be scared of.
There's sharks and fish.
Oh, please. There's nothing. Yeah.
Listen, there.
I lived in the meatpacking district for many years before
That's
Sex
a different
the
kind
city.
Of shark, darling. I like those sharks.
And we ate great food and swam every morning in the ocean. And of course, the Four Seasons is, you know, luxury plus.
It is.
So
so you did that. And then after that, you started filming Skin Wars.
I'm still filming it right now. But before that, yeah. I went to New York right after.
You went to see the Suzanne Bartsch retrospective.
I certainly did.
What?
Yes. Which is, it's amazing, which is going on until December 5th. I don't know when this will air, but
I'm going.
Yeah. It's really brilliant. And she basically curated this thing herself, and it borrows some from the Alexander McQueen exhibit. That's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then, so I went to New York to clear out the New York apartment because I'm redoing it.
Okay.
And because I hadn't done anything to that place since 1997.
So that means I know exactly what it looks like because we recorded the album there.
We recorded the first Christmas album there.
Recorded Ho 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 there. Uh-huh. I know exactly what it looks like in my head.
Yes. It was the exact same paint on the walls because over these years, I've spent most of my time out here in Los Angeles. So redoing it. James is redoing it.
I can't wait to see what you're going to do with it.
It's different from the house here. You know, the house here looks like a whorehouse. Mm. It's like a
not just a whorehouse, a Russian whorehouse.
Yeah. With colors and animal prints and different textures and wallpaper and paint.
It's
and this.
My wet dream, to be honest.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But that's going to be more subdued in New York because all of that Michigas is outside in the streets of New York.
Correct.
So coming into the house, I want it to be calm and serene.
More like a Zen retreat.
Exactly.
Love that.
So that's what I'm doing. It'll be done by January.
So you went to New York. Carson told me you met up with him at the Suzanne Bartsch Retreat. And then?
Yes.
You went to something where I am so jealous.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Well, before I mention that, though, I did meet Carson at the Suzanne Bartsch thing, but I also met someone there who, believe it or not, I had never met her before.
Who?
I met Diane Brill there.
You had never...
Listen,
wait a minute.
I had been in clubs with her. I'd seen her from across the room 100 times.
Well, me too. I don't think I've ever handshaked.
I never had a word. I never spoke to her because she was on this whole other level.
She was, girl.
Back then.
Yeah.
She was the it girl of the from the mid-80s in New York club life.
Still looks gorgeous.
Still looks gorgeous. She was the it girl for about 5 years in New York, like the one.
And then I think Julie Jules took that.
She
after
tried
her.
To, but that sort of idea had seen its day.
It did.
Probably by 89, it had seen its day.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Because she was right before Seduction took off, and Seduction started in 1989.
Right. And Diane Brill, now, of course, she has this skincare line. You could go
and makeup.
And makeup. Yeah. You can go to dianebrill.com. It's spelled D-I-A-N-N-E. E.
Correct.
Brill. And she was lovely. Mm. Lovely. But Carson said, well, come on down to the Tribeca, Soho Tribeca Grand, or whatever it's called. Tribeca Grand.
Yeah.
Because they're having a Carol Burnett screening, and she's going to be there. They screened lost episodes of her television show, which are now being released on DVD.
I mean, you had me at Come On Down, but then you had Carol Burnett in there. What was that like for you?
It was amazing. I'd met her once before, and during the Q&A, which Andre Leon Talley, did I say it correctly?
Yes.
He was the moderator, and of course, I had to ask her a question.
Yeah.
You know, and she said, oh, hey, Rue, you know, yada, yada. But I was sitting next to Pat Cleveland, and in the audience was Kristen Chenoweth, who I just had a conversation with.
Rub it in again. Go ahead.
Weeks prior, and she was telling me about her weekend with Carol Burnett up in Santa Barbara when I saw her before.
Yes.
And then Phil Donahue was there. Who
what?
I didn't get to
was
talk
Marlo
to.
Was Marlo there?
She wasn't there. She's actually on Broadway in a play. She was rehearsing a play.
Must be Rizzo and Grease.
Yeah, no. No, it's some play,
Velma in Chicago.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And then who else was there? I'm blanking now. I sat next to Pat Cleveland. Did I say that? Yeah. And
it doesn't matter. Carol Burnett
Was there. And so and then at the after party, I ran into on the plane.
I know
there.
What happened at the after party. You got peed on by R. Kelly.
Yes, I did.
Yay!
And Jodeci came.
Treatment, baby. I knew it. I know you so well.
On the flight to New York,
yeah.
I watched a film that I embarrassed myself watching because I cried so hard.
Which one?
I saw on the airplane Inside Out.
Oh, okay. One of the best movies to come out in the past 10 years.
Michelle, it is the most important film of the year.
I agree.
The most important film of the year.
Agree.
The woman next to me said after I finished, she said, would you like a piece of candy?
I cried this, not as much as you because you're a crier, but I had tears. Yeah.
Oh, and then when we went to Hawaii, to Maui, I had to drag George there to see it. And I cried all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see it twice more.
It's such a good movie.
It's so, so good. So I ran into, at the after party of Carol Burnett, Richard Kind, who is the voice of Bing Bong.
Yes, he is the voice.
And I got to tell him how happy, because I'd just seen the movie a couple of days before that. Uh-huh. I got to tell him how brilliant this film was.
Yeah.
Richard Kind, who you...
He's been working for 100 years.
Forever. If you know, you probably know him from the mayor's office. What was that show? Spin City.
Yeah,
they would probably know
him
from, but he's done everything. He's done everything. He's Bing Bong in the movie. But listen, we're going to take a quick break. But we're going to talk about our special guest, too. But I don't want to say now because right now we're going long. It might be she's running late. It might just be us this whole show.
That's all right.
So let's take a break real quick and I'll come back and tell you more.
Okay.
Hey, you know how I love Squarespace.
Oh, don't we ever.
They have just revolutionized the idea of making a website. It's just so easy. And listen, guys, when you're ready to purchase a plan, get 10% off with the offer code RU. That's Squarespace offer code RU. Now, you've seen these websites. They're beautiful.
Well, what I love about it is the more we talk about it, the more people are tweeting it and they're linking us to their sites because they're super proud of them.
They should be.
They should be. A, B, they're super proud of them because it was super easy.
Yes. It used to be so hard.
So hard.
But Squarespace has taken all of that worry and mishigas out of the idea of making a website. And they're so gorgeous. Go there right now. If you're looking for a website, if you want to connect with people, go to squarespace.com. And don't forget to use the offer code RU.
Yeah, 10% off. Do it now.
Now, Michelle, I've heard you say countless times how much you love that Casper mattress.
I say I effing love my Casper mattress, but I'm trying not to respect the sponsor.
Yes, you should respect the sponsor because they are good. They have a great product. You sleep on that thing every night and you can't get enough of it.
Listen, before my Casper mattress, and this is straight talk, I don't lie, I had a mattress that I paid, I think like $3,000 or $4,000.
Really?
No, really good. I got it in Miami.
Wow.
When I did a sponsorship down there. Uh-huh. And it is by far the most expensive mattress that I owned.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, I've had it for a short amount of time. I don't know, 6 months, has blown it out of the water.
Really?
And I was so worried because that mattress was so expensive.
Yeah.
This mattress is not only not expensive, the best mattress I've ever slept on because it's like a combination of Tempur-Pedic meets the standard kind, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
It's a hybrid mattress.
Wow. It's really future fashion.
Yes!
It's the best mattress you can get for the money, and the money is really, really reasonable.
And it comes in a box delivered to your house. You just kind of open the box and it goes, boink!
Really?
It's like, you know, those sponges when you add water, it just explodes.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the way the mattress is. It's delivered in a friggin' box.
And let me tell you, this is a premium mattress for a fraction of the price you would pay in a department store or at some of these other big retailers.
100%.
You know? Just go to Casper.com/Rue and get $50 toward any mattress purchase right now by using the offer code RU. Terms and conditions may apply. That's Casper.com/Rue. Offer code RU and get started today. Hello, Michelle Visage.
Hello, RuPaul.
You're here. You're queer.
Get used to it.
Get used to it. Mm. We got a very special guest on the show right now. I'm so excited to talk to Raja.
Hi.
Hi, Raja. Hi. And you've got that hair on like Madonna on the cover of True Blue album.
Yes, yes. Well, eventually I want it to be like Carmen Dell'Orfice, but actually growing out my head like, you know, not a lace front, not a Max Malinafi. I want it to be the real thing.
Yeah.
Like really tight, clean, French twist.
But you're
gray.
Not gray enough.
I know, but it's okay. Once it's long, it'll be super gray. It's happening very rapidly.
But you've got a great head of hair.
There's a lot. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Indonesia.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Seriously, I do have a good head of hair
because
so far.
Because your background is Indonesian.
Yes. Yes, God.
Yes, God. And so you know that Indonesian star Agnes Mo. You heard of her?
No.
And her son Ho?
No. She's the biggest
Agnes
star.
Mo, no.
Agnes Mo. She is the biggest pop star in Indonesia. which is a series of islands for people. Because I had her on my RuPaul Drives. She was one of the first guests on RuPaul Drives.
Is she a young thing?
She's a young, gorgeous thing. Yeah, yes. You don't keep up with your Indonesian roots?
Not as much. I keep up with the food mostly.
Really?
That's how I really connect to the culture. You know,
where do you get...
I don't... Pop culture there, I just can't... I don't know. Do I don't get... really know any American pop culture
Amen.
Either. So
really? Yeah. I would think you know fashion.
Sure, I try. I try to, know a little bit. I'm a Gemini. I got to know a little bit about everything. But I don't need to dive into it. And, you know, I'm just... Yeah. No.
Now, where do you go in Los Angeles for Indonesian food?
My house.
Oh,
you cook? Can you cook it?
Oh, yes, I cook.
What do you cook?
I'm a unicorn gay. I cook. I do flower arrangements. I make costumes.
Did
I dress
your mother
like a girl.
Teach you how to cook Indonesian food?
Yeah, my family's a eating family. We're very ethnic that way. We just like to eat. That's
how do you stay
do.
So skinny?
Bulimia. Obviously.
I live in West Hollywood. Yeah. I have body shame mostly, and I do Pilates once a month.
Uh huh.
Yeah, once a month-ish.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you are very, very skinny. You are like model skinny. You're like sample size.
No, I'm a plus size now. I'm in my 40s, so
are
I'm
you in
okay
your 40s?
With it. Yes, I'm enjoying the full-figuredness.
But you're also very tall. You know, tall helps.
Yes. It does forgive a lot of the fashion sins.
It evenly.
It
although
does.
Not so evenly now that I'm older. It's kind of just pushing its way to my belly.
That's what happens.
The legs are fine. There's a little butt showing, which is good, but there's paunch.
You become a Who from Whoville.
Yeah.
Much easier.
And there's a hair donut when I squeeze it all together. It's like
thank you for that visual there.
Yeah.
So Raja, to me, no disrespect to Tyra and BB, is the original
winner.
Well,
you said because that's when you got on the show.
Yes, 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 that's true.
Nothing to do with it, RuPaul.
Because the whole history of RuPaul's Drag Race started
in
season 3.
Michelle, yeah. Because of you.
No, I mean, to be fair, obviously, I watched seasons 1 and 2. I couldn't be there and I was bitter about it. But with that said, season 3 will always be special to me. And Raja will always, and Manila will always be special to me.
Yeah.
Because it's when I came on board. And and really, to me, it was kind of the first season that started to go. And then season 4, it went, what?
Yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah. It did change the game. There was a lot of different conversations that we probably didn't see in the first 2 seasons.
Right.
And there was a lot more different challenges. It actually worked to my favor to be on that challenge because it was the one that had so many creative things. We had to make a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And that is what I do.
That is your forte. Yeah.
Some girls can throw themselves on the ground and do a shablam. Uh-huh. And some girls lip sync the house, which I'm okay. Uh-huh. But mostly I make shit.
You know, and
that's what I do.
And you walk that runway. No one has pummeled that runway the way you can.
Nobody.
Oh, well, thank you.
Nobody.
But I'll never forget that lobster hat that when we were making all the hats. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh. Easy. It took like 10 seconds, but that's what I do.
Where do you think that comes from? Because, do you think all gay kids who have been locked in the room alone have that ability?
Mm. I was the kid who locked myself in the room and no one really had to lock me in. I liked being in the corner. In fact, the way I live now is very much that way. I like small cottagey treehouse type places. Mm-hmm. That smell of like incense, hot glue and cannabis.
Yeah.
That's my house. Oh, and vanilla. There's always
a little vanilla.
And a little bit of funk, because it's lived in. It's
and
lived
what
in.
About so, patchouli?
No patchouli. That was done in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
But as a kid, I loved having corners, and I played with a lot of blankets and dish towels and pillowcases and just made costumes, and I never really wanted to play with the other kids,
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of like that. I like my alone time.
Right.
We've been on tour. What do? I just get quiet.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing because the quiet kids tend to observe the most.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. A lot of observing. A lot of, it was great because my parents never really forced me to play with other kids, but they encouraged it. They're like, why don't you go and play ball or go do this?
Or play with
and
balls.
I was like, well, that came later.
Yeah.
But.
No, but parents, they want their children to not be outcasts.
Yes.
And
right.
that was them trying to sort of help you, to encourage you, knowing that later on playing with others is actually a good thing,
Yeah.
But you remind me of Matthew in that way because Matthew, who's highly creative. There's also that kid too, you know, would lock away and do that kind of thing.
It's always the super gifted ones that are like that, that the parents fear. I know I go through it with my 15-year-old right now. The parents fear that there's something really wrong, but really the uber creative cannot relate to the masses. Right. And it's true. But you were talking about going on tour and just being on tour for a little while with Raja. She graced us with her presence on our last Battle of the Seasons tour.
So fun.
Watching Raja, you watch and you're like, this bitch is having the worst time ever. And then at the end of the tour, she's literally in tears and saying, this changed my life. And I'm like, really? Because you look like you hated this.
Wait, explain this to me.
But it's different. And it's the way she – I'm going to let you explain. But what I observed was like, I'm not sure that Raja's happy. But I think creative kids have a different way of
– Yeah.
How many dates did you do, Raja?
15, which was plenty. 50, I don't know how some of – You know,
over
like
how
Sharon was there the entire time. And I again, I like my quiet time. I don't do long, long tours very well.
And you guys, like, this is all on a bus?
On a bus.
And what cities do you guys, like you went from?
Cold ones.
Yeah.
All cold ones.
Like Minneapolis and Cleveland and all that madness. But it was fun to have Raja, because Raja's a different energy on that. And I got to spend more time with Raja and the girls got to spend more time with Raja. But I, being the mother that I am, I observe on how each of these kids plays well with others and what they do in their own time. And you could be in your 40s, but I'm still looking at you like as one of the kids and watching you. And Raj is way different than everybody else.
I think there's a part of me who's still that kid, you know, who's sort of intimidated by loud things and personalities. And sometimes, I mean, I get intimidated, you know. I mean, just sitting here with the two of you, I'm like, I hope I have enough to talk about because these two people are really interesting. But, you know, being in a bus for days with people like, you know, Jinx,
there
who
you
just
go.
At any given fucking moment just, like, starts shouting things. And Sharon has always got a wise crack. And I just kind of like sit there and really I'm learning. I'm just learning at how bigger personalities do it because I'm actually quite shy.
Yeah.
I just pretend to be, you know.
Who are your buddies on tour? Who are the people you go and say, let's have a cup of coffee?
Manila.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are times when we have to share rooms with each other.
Did you know each other before season 3?
No.
No.
Really?
No, not at all. We met on the season.
Oh, that's right. She was a New York queen at the
time.
And it's been, you know, it's been 4 years now. So our friendship has certainly grown and we've, you know, been very supportive of each other's ideas. We sit together and drop.
They weren't separable.
A lot. Yeah, we do spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Did you have fun?
I just want to be around people that I can just poop around and just be cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? And is that asking too much?
I can probably poop in front of Manila.
Yeah.
Good. I love it.
Yeah,
I love
probably.
It.
And you had, but Rue asked if you had a good time, and I know she
Oh,
had
yes.
A good time.
You yes, did. Yes, yes. I had a wonderful
Would
time.
Would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I learned so much because a lot of the there was only two of us who really lip synced on the show.
Really?
And everybody else did live stuff. Yeah. And I've never really.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why. Let me interject there.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was.
I think it's a good thing that we perform live because on the show, you only get to see an eighth of the talent that these kids have. Mm-hmm. So when people come and they spend their $40, they want their money's worth. So they can really see full out the talent that they have. Mm-hmm. But these kids that do lip sync, and there are a few, 2-3 at the most, still keep the art of drag alive with that. So there's an element of everything. There's duos and trios and lip syncing and juggling and fire eating and ball swallowing.
Right.
There's everything going on.
Right.
So yes, it
and
is.
And I didn't know that's what it was going to be. I just thought it was just going to be another show that we do at the club, you know, just a quick lip sync. So when I got there, I was like, oh, well, everyone else is doing live stuff. So let me just do this lip sync really good. But if I were given the opportunity next time, I would probably be more prepared and be
Wait, because you have music out. I know you have that gorgeous video that was that I couldn't stop posting. Cholita. Did you do that on tour?
I did not because the song wasn't done yet at the time, and you know, the song was actually done, but I didn't have a visual for it, and no one had really heard it, and I needed the visual to come out first because I think I do the music now to be a background for something visual.
Right.
Do you know
You're
what I mean?
You're a visual artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a very low budget on that, and I didn't know the video director very well. I mean, I knew him as a friend, but it was only his second video that he'd ever done.
Who directed it?
His name is Abel. What the fuck is Abel's last name?
You mean Abel from Tim and Abel?
No.
He's Abel just from Cain and Abel.
Oh, yeah. Cain and Abel. Yeah. I've read about them in the Bible.
Because we're friends. dress. I know them well.
You're the same age,
yeah,
right?
So yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I didn't know what to expect with his capabilities. So I was like, well, I can either just rely on him to do it, or I can just bring a whole bunch of costumes and visuals so that even if the quality of it wasn't bad, you could not deny how good the look was. So
you needn't have worried.
It was fun.
Because it is gorgeous.
It's fun. It's good. I like to collaborate with people. I don't really have a budget the same way that a lot of the girls do.
You know what? It's not even about budget. It's creativity. And I think that, you know, all the hard yards that you put in the corner at mom and daddy's house, that's where it pays off, you know? Yeah. And that's what we saw on season 3 of Drag Race.
Yeah.
So you were on tour. What songs did you lip sync?
I did a Jasmine Sullivan song, who I'm a huge fan of.
Really?
Uh-huh. Whenever I ran into you a few years ago, you'd always ask me what was on my iPod. You're like, Roger, what's on your iPod?
Yes.
Well, my iPod's been Jasmine Sullivan for a while. I love that girl. And
because I know of her, I know of one of her songs, which is
is it Bust Your Windows?
No,
isn't that
her?
Yeah,
that's a great song too.
It's called
good song.
I know the song from the Kitty Black New Orleans Bounce song where they sample her in the middle. It's a Nas song. It's a Nas song.
Getting closer.
That she sings.
Jasmine
the hook on. Yeah. That she sings the hook. So what Jasmine Sullivan
song? I did Stanley, which the album was still new for her at the time, so it did bring some, you know, attention to her new album. So I love that song. I love
that.
And
as an artist, we're always eternally grateful when drag queens perform our music.
Right. In fact, I can't really hear the song until a drag queen does it.
Amen.
Go, oh, I know what this is about.
Yes.
And so you did Stanley.
And Manila and I did a duet. We did Baby Metal.
It was so, can I tell you how good it was? It was like K-pop or something, right?
It's actually Japanese.
Oh, it's Japanese.
It's like this death metal Harajuku goth girl group.
And they dressed up like that. And I literally bought the song because I'd never heard it.
It's a funny song.
Yeah. Because I think I saw a GIF online this morning of Raja with a fan blowing and hair and a big like cape and there's a fan blowing underneath. Is that what that
Brazil.
Oh, that was in Brazil.
Yeah.
Was that that number?
Isn't
no,
it?
No, that was a different number.
About chocolate?
I think it's called Gimme Chocolate.
Yes.
By Baby Metal.
Baby Metal, Gimme Chocolate.
You would love it, actually.
I would. Yeah. It sounds right.
I know you love death metal.
I actually have death metal tattooed on my rump.
On your ass.
I certainly do. Because
your ass is mint.
It's more of a way of life for me, actually, you know, when you really break it down. So you did this tour and Manila and all that. Now, so what have you done? And we're going to go to a break in a minute, but I want to get into what your life has been like post being crowned America's Next Drag Superstar.
I can't wait to talk about this. Oh, look how cute
she's showing me a picture of...
Dressed up in the anime for that song.
That is
gorgeous. So good. And these giant fake cell phones that they'd use. Uh-huh. It's super cute.
So you did that in like 15 cities around the U.S.
Yes, we did, actually.
And you've traveled all over the world.
I have.
Wow.
I thought about that this morning because America's Next Top Model is done.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
22 seasons. So can we just say it's been a good fucking run?
Yeah.
Really, seriously. I mean, they beat that dead horse.
Yeah.
And kept beating it.
Why do you think they're stopping?
I think that dead horse has been beaten.
Yeah.
You can't glue a unicorn horn on a dead horse.
Do you still watch the show?
I haven't watched it since I ended my season on there, which was 12.
Right.
And I just got busy with my own life. And frankly, I can't watch that much reality TV anymore.
Yeah. No, so. I hear you. Raja is here. I want to talk to Raja about what her life has been like since she won America's Next Drag Superstar on RuPaul's Drag Race. After this break, we'll be right back.
Great.
Yeah.
Hey, we're here talking about Casper mattresses because
Casper Van Dien?
Yeah, well, no, the mattresses because they're so fabulous. They're this online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Now, you know, the mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups.
And they get more expensive every year.
They really do.
Yeah.
Well, Casper's not a fan of that business model, and neither am I.
Yeah.
Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost and dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the savings on to you. Now, Michelle, I know you have one of these mattresses.
I have one. I love one. I have a king size. Honestly, my husband's like, really, we're changing the mattress because he had no idea. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I am blown away. I will never sleep on anything else.
Really?
So I can't even tell you, thousands cheaper than what you would pay for like a high-end mattress. And what's so great about them is I was really like considering going Tempur-Pedic. And I remember the salesperson when I bought my really expensive one down in Miami was saying, the difference between Tempur-Pedic is you sleep in the mattress, not on the mattress. And I was like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about Casper. They're a new hybrid mattress that combines the premium latex foam with memory foam. So they're kind of the perfect amalgamation, the perfect mixture of all of those worlds in one mattress. The right amount of sink and the right amount of bounce.
Isn't it? It's just, I love the fact that we have a sponsor that you're really, really in love with like this.
But I will say, on behalf of you and I, we're not going to talk about anything. We don't believe it on this show. This is why this is not a terrestrial radio show. This is our show on our podcast, and we only support the people that we believe
exactly.
in. Exactly.
That's right.
The sponsors that we love.
That's right. Listen, you can try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns.
Oh my God, it's like Rip Van Winkle.
That's 100% risk-free. So what are you waiting for? And get $50 towards any mattress purchase right now by visiting Casper.com/RU.
Yes.
Terms and conditions may apply. That's Casper.com/RU. Offer code RU and get started today.
Get started today. I promise you guys, you have my word. You won't regret it.
Okay, we are back. Michelle's just showing us these gorgeous glasses.
Dr. Peepers. That's the name of the brand. And they are $3.
You went online to look for them for $3. Where did you go online to find them?
Well, I searched the brand because when the person I saw wearing them, I was like, what are these? I never heard of Dr. Peepers. And I thought maybe it was like a weird kind of boutique. No, they were just cheap. Like, be a 1950s girl and get them. And like $3.
Yeah.
I'm making them into prescription glasses.
Now, wait a minute, Dr. So if I Google Dr. Peepers, I guess that's P-E-E-P-E-R-S,
like a play on Dr. Pepper. Uh-huh. Dr. Peepers, you're going to get a whole bunch of different crazy costume glasses.
Yeah, it's a costume place.
Yeah.
No, I would have to have
okay,
like 10
so,
of these.
So help the listeners out. How do they get these glasses? Go to Dr. Peepers
or
and
Google, because they didn't even have a website. So I went on eBay and I put in Dr. Peepers sunglasses. These are the pink leopard print ones. They are so epic. $3. I'm going to make them into prescription.
Why do you
glasses.
Think they're so cheap?
Because they're meant to be. But if you feel them, they're pretty substantial for a costume.
No, they
cheap
are. They
glass.
Look very substantial.
Right. So they'd be like LAI works, like that kind of funky glass.
Wow.
So I bought them and I'm going to make them into prescription glasses. And nobody knows that I'm that cheap.
Now, Raja walked in with some gorgeous glasses. Now, you said these were from where?
I don't know the name of the place. It was this co-op in
downtown LA.
You know, downtown is booming now. It's got a huge art scene.
Yeah, I'm down there all the time.
DTLA.
Lots of good places for hipsters to shop, you know, pretty good prices. And I found these at a co-op in the
they're
arts district.
Gorgeous. They're a different take on aviator glasses. Mm-hmm. They're very flat. They're not rounded. I'm going to, trust me, I'm probably going to go down there today and get those.
And they're really mirror-y.
Yeah. Even on the inside. The great thing is I've worn these to Runyon Canyon. And when you wear it and you stand in the sun a certain way, you can actually see the people behind you.
Yes.
And that is so sneaky.
That is so, you're a stunt queen.
I love it.
And Runyon Canyon has got a lot of cuties when I'm there. And I like to see it from behind.
Well, see, that's why I wouldn't go to Runyon Canyon because so many people there.
Yeah.
Now here in Los Angeles, that's the entry level for hiking.
Right.
Do you go to any other hikes here in Los Angeles?
I don't. It's because it's so close to me. I actually walk from my apartment, which is nearby, and I walk from here all the way to Runyon Canyon.
Wait a minute. You live in West Hollywood?
Yes.
And you walk to Runyon?
I do.
How long does it take you?
Skinny.
How long does it take you to get to the base of Runyon?
Well, I mean, for emus and giraffes like us, it takes seconds. You know, our legs, like,
for stumpy little trolls like me,
one step goes half a block. You know, it's not an issue. So I just do it. I feel like if I'm going to work out and I'm going to put the time into it, why drive to it? You know,
agree. Yeah. And then there's Fryman if you don't want to do Runyon.
Yeah, Fryman or where I go in the morning
Uretha
Franklin Canyon at 6:30 in the morning is brilliant. But it's getting darker earlier now, or whatever that means. And then so I end up going at 7 in the wintertime. Yep. But so you're hiking and biking and buying sunglasses downtown Los Angeles.
I live a very, very fulfilling and enchanted West Hollywood life. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
No, that's fabulous.
I have no shame in it. I like it.
No,
I
you
go
shouldn't.
Hikes, I buy sunglasses.
That's what I do.
So now tell me about your life post, what did you do that first year after becoming America's Next Drag Superstar? Did you tour? What did you do?
I toured and I partied and acted very irresponsibly for a few good months.
Good, boy. Good on
you. I lived like a rock star. I acted like one and I had a blast.
You are one, baby.
I met so many people. I fucked all kinds of people on the road. It was fabulous.
Walk us through every inch of it. I mean, every step of it.
But wait a minute. So, but you weren't on the Bots tour. That was before that happened.
That was when Absolute was still involved. They gave us 10 cities that were part of that.
It was an Absolute tour, remember?
Right.
That was still part of the prize, was you won 10 cities, paid gigs.
Yes. And so you went to these 10 cities and you partied your off.
Well, along with all the other gigs that were happening, suddenly there was this popularity. And, you know, I'd been doing drag for almost 20 years at that time and never had any drag queen just gone and lip-synced and made money. Amount of money.
Right.
So it was fun. I had a blast. I recommend it to everyone who gets to be part of this process. Please, please, if you win, enjoy it. I mean, just enjoy the process anyway. But I did learn a lot, you know, and I learned that as time went by, you had to work a lot harder and you're on your own. And the first thing people ask me is, you know, are you friends with RuPaul? And does he help you along the way after you win? I'm like, no, bitch, she left us. She's like, I gave you the prize. Now go do it. And that's how it is, you know. And we have to work hard and we have to really figure out who it is and what it is we do as artists. And that's, I think now 4 years later, is where the fork comes in for me.
Well, this is what people don't understand is that once you quote unquote make it, then you actually have to work for it. And the work, it's harder. It's, you know, it's easy. This is the wrong term to use, but it's almost easier achieving that first breakthrough than it is maintaining it.
100%.
You know?
Yeah. So that's why when you look at people with a career 30 years long, it's not that they're not as famous as they used to be when they first broke into the business. It's fact that they're still here.
Yes.
I have been obsessed with documentaries since I got rid of cable television and I watch them like crazy. Uh-huh. I watched Elaine Stritch, the Phyllis Diller
legends,
one. It gives me chills. Like my fucking legs have chills. It's amazing to see these people do what they do authentically. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's nothing. I mean, it's completely them. And just watching them do it is miraculous to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you last that long?
Yeah.
How do you continue to do it, you know? It's passion. It's love. You know,
yes,
it's love for what you do.
With a touch of insanity.
And exactly. And stick with itness. And there's so many elements to that that you can't even prepare anyone for it. You have to go through it.
Right.
You know, for years before RuPaul's Drag Race, I was on the road for many, 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 many years. And I was the only bitch on the stroll back then.
Yes.
You know?
So back on the road again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
Well, eventually.
If Michelle has her way.
Yeah, I want to do it. I just haven't been able to do it. But it's very hard.
Is it an audio animatronic of you?
No.
The one
not
that
gonna
we normally
it's not going to be Michelle
the
in the holograms, okay. No. Rue will be there.
Is it a,
I will
a,
be
it's
there.
It's a wax figure with casters underneath
well,
it.
Well, that's what she's in real life.
Exactly. Yeah. I would
and
love
tug
to
on
it.
Strings and the arms move up and down. Yeah. And that's it.
Supermodel.
I would love
and then they can project your face onto this like flat face the way at the Gautier exhibit.
Yes.
The way that's what they should do.
Oh,
yeah,
I
yeah.
love that idea. That's perfect. Then I could be in Palm Springs, you know.
Doing trivia.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, I know it's hard. I know it's
hard.
Very hard. So how much of your life is drag today? Do you make your rent money from doing drag? Because I know you're a brilliant makeup artist.
Yes.
What percentage of your life is your drag career and what percentage is as a professional makeup artist?
At this point in my life, I am 95% drag.
Really?
I mean, as far as making money.
Yeah.
And then about 5% makeup.
She did the cover
of your book,
The
Diva Rules.
You know what? It's building again because I've been focusing so much on drag. Never in my life did I think I was going to have an opportunity like this. And I've learned.
Yeah.
I suggest it to everyone. You have to learn.
Yeah.
You know, just don't be blind to what is happening in front of you. And to get this sudden popularity is a really interesting process. Because as the years keep going and the seasons keep adding, you have to find your spot in there and your relevance. And that part is tough for someone who's very quiet and kind of unsure
of myself. I don't
know about
that, though, because,
you know the feeling.
You had such a huge impact and worldwide on just your sense of style and your aesthetic that I would think that wouldn't be as difficult for you. So far, we've had 100 girls go through the RuPaul's Drag Race.
So 100. If you have somebody to blame,
my God.
You blame that one right
yeah.
there.
I just want to find my, I want to find my quality within this quantity. You know, mm-hmm. I want to find my place, but not compromising. I don't right. really care if I'm popular as much as I care that I get to express myself
but I,
and,
yeah.
and experiment more and more and challenge myself and be nervous again and get that adrenaline back into doing drag right. because sometimes you do hit a wall and
Sorry, I do want to say though on that note, that's what makes you special, I think, because when I've done shows with all of them, they're all over the place all the time. You can see them, Bianca and Jinx and Sharon, any given day at any given club.
Yeah.
But Raj is more like an anomaly. She's mm-hmm. like a special little gem on the crown. Seriously, and people I talk to through the journeys and through traveling, I hear them. And Raja holds this very special place for all of them. So when they do get to see you, it's even that more special. So I think that you are holding your place. You are yeah. staying true to who you are, and you're very special.
The experimentation is the part that I'm excited and terrified about. Like, I want to incorporate more live performance because all of the girls that I looked up to, you know, I didn't have a Violet Chachki or a Miss Fame or any of these characters that were in television. My idols and heroes in drag were live performers.
Right.
Joey Arias, Sherry Vine, you know, Raveno, yourself, now Lady Bunny, you know. Mm-hmm. And these are people that have now become a part of my life. They are mm-hmm. no longer just my idols, but we're colleagues and friends, mm-hmm. you know. And that really excites me because I'm like, ooh, you know, I've been watching all of these people do their work for so long, and I want to try it, you know,
yeah, yeah.
And that's the terrifying part. And that's the part that I like. So I want that back. And that's what I'm working on.
Right.
You know, I want yeah. to do it.
So now, see, when you go out and perform, do you perform your own music?
I do sometimes, but I, you know, you have to gauge it according to the nightclub. You know, you kind of go to see who else is performing with you. Ooh, that kombucha and coffee is doing something to me. It's gurgling. Okay.
Do you have the web series with Raven yeah. called Toot It and Boot It, Toot yeah. It or Boot It?
RuPaul's Drag Race Fashion Photo Review.
I love watching
thank God,
it.
You know, thank God for World of Wonder because those people pull me out of bed and put a wig on me and make me talk and do
t-shirt.
Things. And yeah. and a fascinator plenty, and a red lip, but you know they have a lot of faith in me and they let me do activities and keep myself out there for people to see, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not paid or highly paid or paid at all, but
yeah.
You know, there's an editor, there's a green screen,
amen.
There's a few cameras, there's some even lighting, there's some reflectors, there's a dressing room for me to go to, and they do it all. And people around the world are asking me to toot and boot their looks everywhere.
See?
So
yeah.
It's great. It's wonderful.
No, that's the thing. The platform of the show is just that. It's a place for so many talented girls to launch their careers right. and to launch their aesthetic, their platform, what they're about, and so that people can find them. And I think the web series are really important.
Yes.
Because yeah. It's a place for the people who love you to find you.
Yes.
And the people who don't know anything about you to understand, you know, your patter and how that works. And that's what show yeah. business is. You know, talk about those hard yards. I talk about them all the time. You know, Michelle and I have been in this business for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, and you've put in the hard yards. Someone turns 18 every single day and they may mm-hmm. not have heard about you. So you've
yeah.
got to get out there and you've got to hustle.
Yeah.
That's why there are, yes, 100 girls have come through our show, and some of them
jeez.
Are not on the tip of my tongue.
Well,
there, I can always think, oh, Raja, and there's Sharon,
right.
you know. But
yep.
so you have to keep that pilot light on.
Yep.
A lot of people just fall the wayside because they don't know how to work it.
Yeah.
You know. What
I don't want to beat myself up if the direction and journey of my life isn't always filled with popularity. I don't want to feel disappointed and as a failure. If I find comfort in a little bit of solitude and quietness and being able to express my art in that way,
yeah.
that sounds great. On that Phyllis Diller documentary I saw, she said that the most valuable thing she has, the most expensive thing she has, is silence.
I love that.
In this day and age, it was so profound to me that it threw me up against the wall. I was like,
yes.
I mean, you just said it all. This
yes.
is we're being inundated by just stuff, and
everything,
I understood that. I was like, She's like almost 100 years old, and she...
We went. Do you remember when priceless. I just went through this Phyllis Diller obsession? We talked about... It wasn't even long ago, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, that I went through this really deep Phyllis Diller obsession.
Oh, my God.
I think it was in the wake of kind of everything that happened with Joan, and I started going back. And, Phyllis Diller, even though she told the same joke over and over and over, nobody delivered... That bitch, it was so funny and so before her time.
Yes.
So before her time. That documentary is amazing. Amazing, as is the Elaine
Stritch.
What's
it called? The Phyllis Diller one?
I don't even know what it's called. If you just Google Phyllis Diller documentary, I'll do that right now.
And it was done when she was 95, because she died in 95, right? She died at 95. And
it was before she died.
So,
yes, it was before she died.
It was because before she died. But I mean...
Because I don't know how that would have happened if I talked to her.
Well, some documentaries are made after people are...
Yes, true.
But, you know, we had her on the...
She died in 2012, people.
Uh-huh.
And the documentary is called... is called Good Night, We Love You.
Good Night, We Love You.
Yeah. And you're watching these on YouTube.
I'm addicted to them. I mean, I can't even eat a GM. I can't look at bread or... cornflakes or Ritz crackers the same way. I can't eat a GMO. Like, I have stopped eating meat, sort of, mostly.
Good,
oh, because taking it out.
Because
you know?
Of watching, because of documentaries.
Like, I love it. I just, like, I'm learning so much, you know?
And educated and fed up. And
So you're living a healthy lifestyle because these documentaries have taught you no GMOs, none of that, yada, yada.
I've always
been sort of... But you smoke cigarettes.
I do, but I smoke American Spirits.
No, it's that's not like organic. An excuse.
I know it's horrible. Uh-huh. But you know the thing? I mean, this is a whole other conversation. I just think so many of my heroes smoked, you know?
Yeah.
Now, like, oh my God, that is the worst justification I've ever heard. So many of your heroes died from lung cancer.
I know.
Too.
Well, I mean, I think of, you know, like Diana Vreeland every time I light up a cigarette.
Oh,
that's
wow.
who I want to be, or Coco Chanel or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned stepping away from the canvas, and, you know, I have done that. You know, when I'd met you, I think, before this, but when I was around at Peanuts and all that, that was a period when I was in a semi-retirement. I'd stepped away from the canvas,
I will never forget that.
It was a great time. You know, I used to come and see you perform at Peanuts.
Yeah. That which was very controversial for people to know that we knew each other. But I always say, I'm like, Rue and I knew each other, but it wasn't like I was calling or asking for money or,
you
know, crying about boys, you know.
I know all the
queens.
Of course you do. It's a very small circle.
The queens, especially at that time in LA, because it wasn't as, you know, booming of a drag scene.
Right.
It was only a few of us, you know, and I worked at Peanuts, which was the trans bar.
Right.
Was it a trans bar?
It was a trans bar.
Huh. I went with you, Rue.
Yeah.
You brought me there.
Yeah, it was fabulous. I was the only boy who wasn't transitioning.
You didn't have titties?
Did not have the titties, but I performed there and you would always watch us from the DJ booth clap real loud and scream shit and then leave. The show was done.
No, I get out of
there. That's real. Yeah.
And then she'd leave.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that scene and the LA scene and everything. After this break, we'll be right back with Raja.
Yeah.
I'm just so in love with Squarespace. I love anyone who takes an idea that seems complicated and simplifies it to that degree. You know, they create a platform for people to make their own websites.
But baby, it didn't seem complicated. It was complicated.
It was complicated
before Squarespace.
Yes, it really was.
They really took the thought process out of it. And what they did was, like, you know when you go into like a paint shop?
Yes.
And all you see in front of you are different colors?
Yes.
And all you have to do is point.
Uh-huh.
And that's what Squarespace is.
That's exactly what it is. And so many people have been so satisfied with the websites that they've made themselves through Squarespace. Now, Squarespace has made it so easy. It's never been easier.
No.
Let me tell you, when you're ready to purchase a plan, you can get 10% off with the offer code RU if you go to squarespace.com. So many people have sent us letters and shown us their websites. In fact, you've got a letter right there.
I do. We get some great emails. Please keep sending them at RuPaul Pod. Remember, there's no S on the end. That's for shit. RuPaulPodcast@gmail.com. Send us all that stuff about your Squarespace websites. This one's from Abby Fox. She says, love the show. Been a listener since the first episode. And we have to stop right there and say thank you, Abby, because without you kids, we couldn't continue this crap that we call a podcast. So thank you for
that. Thank you.
Abby said she wanted to share how great her experience with Squarespace has been. She's an audiologist. I'm sorry, what?
Audiologist?
That's a joke. It's a hearing doctor. if you knew what it was, it would have been funnier. But anyway, she's an audiologist and a writer. She launched ProjectAudacious.com. ProjectAudacious.com, a digital magazine featuring artists and other creatives with hearing loss.
What a great idea.
What? In collaboration with my girl, Parissa Vasai of Web Couture. Uh-huh. The result is the most gorgeous website. It's exquisite. She said she's getting compliments from respected colleagues, friends, and even strangers about how beautiful the website for Project Audacious turned out. She says it's easy for me to upload her writing and photos. Project Audacious loves Squarespace and loves Rue and Michelle. So go to Project Audacious, or is it Audacious? It's audacious, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know when you look at it in letters, you've always said audacious. I'm like, is it audacious? No, it's audacious.
Yeah.
Thank you, Abby, so much for checking out Squarespace and for sharing your great project, audacious.com, with us.
I love that. You know what I really love is that she's being of service to her community and to her and of what she does and knows best.
Yeah.
This website is gorgeous.
Helen Keller would have been so proud.
So proud. And it helps a lot of people. I mean, it's really entertaining. Now, if you want to do the same, I don't know what business or where your interests lie, but if you want to make a gorgeous website without all of the confusion, go to squarespace.com. And if you love what you see, you can get a free trial with no credit card required just by going to squarespace.com. And if you use that offer code RU, you'll get 10% off. What is that, Majel? Well, we are back with Raja. What is that you're looking at?
That's a mirror, but these boys in Scotland, his name is Barry Scotland. He made a necklace for me. Now, you've heard me talk about Tunnock's tea cakes.
Yes.
It's my favorite thing in the world, and it's a Scottish little treat that I can't eat anymore because it's not gluten-free or vegan. Right. But I love him so much that he made me – it's a necklace, but it's got a mirror on the back.
Uh-huh.
So I took it off the necklace, and I use it as a mirror, and it says Michelle Visage, no tea cake, no shade.
Now, Michelle just came back from Europe. I can only imagine how many tchotchkes you have from your travels.
I love them all so much. Uh-huh. I love fan art, which I call fart. it's my favorite thing in the world. Honestly, I cherish all of them.
They are
my
wonderful.
House. I know you have a whole exhibit, Rue.
Yeah.
But it's my favorite thing. The thought that somebody takes time out of their day to sit there and create not only something for you, but something of you and your likeness is mind-blowing.
I've seen some real doozies of you, too.
Amen. And they're my favorites.
And those are your favorites.
The doozies are my favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
I love them because one day we're not going to be here. And
yeah.
They'll be like sort of little artifacts that people did and, you know, that you actually existed. Somebody took time to draw your picture.
That's what I mean.
And paint or create a sculpture or whatever it
or
is.
Or put your face on their tattoo.
Or tattoos, which is mind-boggling to me. I have a few people who have tattoos. Yeah. Of me.
I've seen some great ones of Rue over the years.
Yeah.
Great ones of Rue.
What picture do they normally use of you, the famous picture? Are they famous pictures of you?
One that Peter Palladino did of me a few years ago that a friend of mine, Henry, who's a makeup artist, did of me. And it's the one where I'm kind of like hands on the hips looking forward. Like, And then there's that one that someone did. And then there's an illustration that I did of myself that I posted on Instagram that someone took and did a tattoo of. A lot of I love Raja, like just me writing things or little Raja.
Yeah, now don't you have another web series where you just sit and write? You sit and sketch?
We were doing that for a while.
What's it called?
Raja Draja.
Raja Draja.
Blake came up with that, you know.
Raja Draja. And it's still on the interweb.
We've taken a break.
You've taken a break from it, but it's if you want to find it, you can still see it on.
Yeah, it's still
Raja, how many episodes did you do?
We did a few. I want to say over 10 for sure.
That's fun. A lot.
And then you had a kind of makeup thing going
on. We're doing that now, which actually comes out today.
You have a makeup web
Thursday.
Series called what?
It's called Throwback Thursday, produced by World of Wonder,
yeah.
And it's on Refinery 29.
Right.
What does that mean?
That's another web thingy.
Yeah.
Production company thingy. I think they do it in conjunction.
What's the gist of this? It's a makeup tutorial show?
Tutorial kind of makeover. We take girls who are sort of well-known. You know, we had Olivia Culpo, who was 2012's Miss Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we made her into Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, you did one with Kat Graham, I think, right?
Well, that was my own series before that.
But it's the same idea, wasn't it?
Same idea. And it's just us kind of talking and kind of taking these girls who wouldn't normally wear these looks. We did another girl as Diana Ross, which is one out today. I forgot her name.
Hey, Diana Ross.
It's on my phone somewhere. Yeah.
It's so funny because the young starlets you see out there, you would think that they'd be smart enough to take on these looks and to differentiate themselves. I mean, you know, Dita Von Teese was always been so smart with her look by differentiating herself from any other sort of starlet.
And sticking with it. Yeah.
But, you know, there are so many looks that people can do that can, you know, and they can take a cue from the whole drag
race. It's called Throwback Thursday. So it's meant to take, you know, ideas from the past, like Farrah Fawcett and Diana Ross.
You talk about Amber Stevens?
Amber Stevens. Thank you very much.
And you know what I think when you guys are talking about that? I think the thing is with these kids and these young starlets is their management and their people, their lack of creativity is the one that says, you got to fit in. You can't do this to make yourself stand out so much that casting people will only see you being that one thing. I think that has to do with bad direction.
I think so too. I think that's why Erykah Badu is so has lasted so long because, you know, for me, I'm not like a fan or her music. I like it, whatever, whatever. But
I just love her.
Her, the essence of her, her sense of humor, her sense of playfulness, and those looks. And she's gorgeous. You know, and that's why so much pop culture is boring, is that most people don't do that thing, you know? And I think with Raja also, I don't think you ever have to worry about sort of fading away into the because you've put such a dent in the drag culture in the in the 21st century.
I take so much example from people like Erykah Badu and Khalees and MIA who produce amazing music that goes unheard sometimes because they are not the exact popular Taylor Swift kind of people, but they are doing their art and they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and they're just themselves, you know.
Yeah, but
and
you
I
know,
love that.
You also have to understand too that the consumer for music like this is usually someone who is 11 to 25 years old and that changes constantly. So, you know, if you're in that demographic, if you're in those margins, people are moving out of it and new people are moving into those margins constantly. So, doing web series, keeping yourself out there is the way to stay, and they say, I hate this term, but stay relevant.
Relevant.
Doesn't mean, and it's really has nothing to do with who you are as an artist. It's everything to do with who you are as a business person. What do you have to sell? What do you have to sell that you could sell to these people, you know, that they've never seen before? That's the fashion industry. That's the music industry. You know, they've never heard of bell bottoms before. So when someone reintroduces bell bottoms, they're like, wow, what is that?
Yeah. Well, when I was making the Olivia Culpo over as Farrah Fawcett, you had to have the Farrah hair.
Yes.
And when she was doing her, you know, just her interview her alone, she kept referring to the hair as a flip.
Right.
And I was like,
it's
a flip.
Feather,
it's a feather, girl. And I wanted to stop her. And, you know, it's not a flip. Yeah. A flip is 1960s. 60s. It's that Coco Peruzzi light.
Exactly.
That goes from underneath.
It's Marlo Thomas in that girl.
Oh, it was driving me crazy.
And did you stop her? Did you say, hey?
I did later. I didn't correct her directly. But when it was time for my interview and she was watching, I was like, yes, the feathered hair.
Right. Well, who did you learn this stuff from? Did you get it sitting in the corner at home reading fashion magazines, or did you have a mentor?
I learned it mostly on my own because I think there's a that breed of gay kid who is now missing somehow, the unicorn gay, like, you know, the one that does the flower arrangements, the one that draws, the one that cooks.
Tell you why they're missing after you finish your story.
Mm-hmm.
And what was my point about that?
The point is that you know that you were that gay is missing from culture.
Yes.
Right. And wait, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, we were talking.
How did you learn that stuff?
Yeah.
How did I learn it? Yes, that's where we're at. How did I learn it? I learned it on my own because I was curious and I wanted to know. So even before tutorials, I just sort of experimented on my own and figured it out. You know,
because
you're
from behind the orange curtain.
Sort of. I went to college there and lived there for a while, but I'm actually from La Puente, which is the hood.
Where is La Puente? I've seen it when they're doing the weather on the map in local weather.
Yeah.
I see it, but I don't think I've ever been there.
It's that way. It's by Whittier
It's by Whittier. Montebello. It's before you get to Whittier and Pomona. It's between the 10 and 60 freeway.
Oh yeah, I know what that
is. You know,
yeah.
And it was a rough area for a bit. I don't think it is so much anymore. I think it's changed over time, but.
The roughest part is trying to pronounce La Puente.
La Puente, which means the bridge.
The bridge. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
But I learned. I figured it out, trial and error. You know,
your sisters were your mentors?
Not beauty mentors. No, my family is, as far as like beauty department, they're very conservative. You know?
Right. So. No liquid eyeliner for your sisters.
Oh, no,
you
that's
just
a
learn
crime.
It. You know, and I had a lot of friends, especially in high school. I learned how to do eyeliner, liquid liner, to use it for everything: brush, lips, eyebrows.
Sure.
You know, across the eyelid with liquid liner from a Chola friend of mine named Eva, who was 14 years old on house arrest. Love telling
I'm that's
story.
Hot. Yes. And that's how you got the Cholita makeup? That's how you perfected that?
Absolutely. I think that's where I learned it, you know. Uh-huh. But I just trial and error, just talking
that's what
to
it is. And a lot of kids, my number one question is, teach me, can you do a tutorial on how you do your eyeliner? I've been doing it like that since I'm 14 years old or 13. My mother had liquid liner that she never used. Arlene never wore liquid liner. It was in her makeup. Going through her closet, her bag one day, I found it, started practicing on my own, taking it off before she saw me. And then one day it came out, she was like, oh my God, your eyes look amazing.
Wow.
Just to back up that point, if you don't try and try and try, you'll never learn.
Yeah.
Go into the bathroom every day after school and try the liquid liner.
I did that so much. I remember I had you remember those clown kits, those makeup kits?
Yes.
It had a white and a black and the primary colors, which is red, green, and yellow.
Yes.
And I remember I saved one. I had one for about 2 years that I just kept, and I would sneak into the bathroom, and I taught myself how to do that. I love the way the 60s Twiggy makeup looked, and I just took that clown makeup. And just started playing.
With
you know,
your fingers.
It's with fingers.
But they didn't
use
brushes back then. They had those little sponge applicators.
With the back of my toothbrush.
Right?
Yeah.
But how did you get your skin tone? Did you have a foundation? You just...
I was 12.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't thinking about skin tone. I didn't know.
Exactly.
I was just playing. It was playtime. I would take anything that I had to make makeup or an outfit, trash bags, saran wrap, anything. I still do that now, you know.
So you grew up in La Puente, the bridge in California. And I know that you came from a very conservative family. Your family were evangelics or
evangelical?
Something like
were
that.
Were they really?
Not evangelical, no.
Pentecostal. That's Kirk Cameron.
My family are non-denominational Christians. They're pretty charismatic for Christians, but I think it's evolved over time, their Christianity. When I first remember going to church with my family here in the U.S., I remember they used to speak in tongues there, and I'd never seen that before, and I remember just giggling
and laughing.
Are you serious? Yeah, they were speaking in tongues. So my family went through that moment, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
And then they found a Dutch-Indonesian church where my father eventually became assistant pastor at. So when we moved to the States, he went to seminary.
But you were born in Indonesia.
I was born in the States, and at age 3, my father decided to move the entire family, which was my mom, my sister, myself, and him, to Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Age 3.
And when did you come out, and what was that like, having a religious family?
Well, my father was also Muslim for 50 years of his
life. Wait a minute. There's a lot going on there.
My mom and dad have a 25-year age difference, so he...
Gotcha.
Right.
So your dad had a whole life before
he had
met
a whole
life.
He was 50, at age 50, which is right before the time we came back to the U.S., he had converted to Christianity, which was very controversial because my father is the youngest of a very, very famous Islamic family of scholars and, you know, teachers and leaders in Indonesia. So when he converted to Christianity, it became very dangerous for our family to be there. So we came here basically on an exile, like a religious exile, and we packed up our shit, threw some stuff away. My dad, you know.
He converted for your mom?
I think it was his own spiritual conviction. I think my mom had a lot of help with it. I think he found a lot more freedom in Christianity. You know, Christians have an idea of having a very personal and close relationship with God, and I think that really spoke to him to be able to be that close, you know.
Right.
Isn't my path.
Right.
I respect my family. My parents are absolute leaders. They are teachers. They are artists too. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom and dad both had very creative stuff. My dad was a charmer. He was very charismatic. He's a Gemini. His birthday was 7 days before mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I learned a lot. The religious part really wasn't so bad for me, I don't think. There were moments that were bad, but I think it was really more the people in the church more than it was my family.
Right. So you guys packed up.
We came to America. Right. So my dad, when we came back to the States, my father started going to seminary, and he finished. He had a master's or whatever
my
it is.
My goodness.
So my father was a minister, and I went to church 3 times a week through my teens, you know, Bible study, youth group, Sunday school, all of it. And there I was with bright
so
orange
then,
bangs.
How did you handle that?
Because I know
time.
That your father did watch you on Drag
Race.
Yes. I never, like, coming out day was happened recently, and a lot of people were, you know, were talking about coming out, and I never really actually had a coming out. I never had a moment where I sat down with my family and said, "Mom and Dad, I'm gay."
Right.
It happened. Actually, by accident, they found out because one of my best friends who I used to dress up with and go to the arena here in West Hollywood, sneak out of my parents' house. And then when I went to college, we'd continue to go out. We were club kids. He was on the Jerry Springer show. And he mentioned my name while my parents were watching.
Oh, my goodness.
Your parents just happened. Your religious parents just happened to be watching Jerry Springer.
My parents were, you know, very cool. I mean, it was television.
Yeah.
So they were watching it. Yeah. They found it entertaining, and they were watching their Jerry Springer show. It was my first year in college, and I remember coming home, and they had videotaped it, I think. And I came home, and they sat me down with my sisters in the den, and we watched this episode, and there was my best friend in his club kid gear, saying my name, saying that he went to Cal State Fullerton, which is a school that I went to. And it was all this confusing craziness. My parents questioned me about my sexuality. And at that time, I said I was bisexual.
Right. That's always the safe. Because
I was afraid. But then I just continued to live my life. I was like, well, they kind of figured it out. I don't think I have to say anymore. I'm just going to keep going to the club. And then we'll figure it out later.
Somebody dropped a dime because let's just break that down for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I know my parents. You know your parents. We had VCRs and stuff, but never in a million years would my mother tape an episode of Jerry Springer.
Yeah, because they had seen it and then waited for Raja to come home.
And then played it back.
And said, oh, look.
I think that's how it's been. It's been so long. It was sort of an intervention. And I think it was maybe one of my other family members or somebody who was from the church who knew Ivan, who knew my best friend.
Right.
And immediately started taping. That's exactly what happened.
Yes. So it was a little bit
and
of a
so when I got home, the tape was ready for me. And I remember coming, it was, you know, my first year in college. I was probably like 17 or 18, and I came home for the weekend, and they sat me down, and we had something to talk about. Press play.
Roll the clip.
And I just sat there, and I remember sitting on the staircase, and just with my head sort of, and my hands on the railing on the stairs, and I remember my face pressed up against it, looking at the TV with my hands, like I was in jail.
Like
I was this caged, caught animal.
Yeah.
And, you know, but after that, I never really talked about it anymore, because I was like, well, you kind of figured it out. So I want to do my thing. So I'm not going to have to tell. I don't want to tell you everything.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be judged.
And your friend was on Springer for Club Kid, sort like Geraldo used to do?
Yes. It was teenage Club Kids, in fact. And Bobby Trendy was on that episode, too. We should look this up on YouTube.
How funny is that?
My name was mentioned. My parents were, you know, brought to the light. They figured it out. They were like, oh, shit. You know.
Was Sutan mentioned or Raja?
Sutan.
Oh. Sutan.
I don't even think my name was Raja yet at the time.
Okay.
So Sutan. It was that long ago. And
wow.
Yeah, that's kind of how they found out that I was dabbling in drag, and I just kept going. I was already out of the house at that point, so I was like, you know what?
I'm just going to keep.
I don't have to answer to you guys anymore. I'm just going to keep going.
But were they paying for college?
No. I'm a minority, so I got that
good
grant, and you know.
Did you finish?
No, it was terrible. It was the most boring, awful time of my life.
What were you studying?
I was an art student.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very boring.
How long did you last?
2 years.
2 years.
And then I started doing makeup. I started working for MAC, and then that's how makeup became.
That's where I first met you, at the MAC counter.
Is it?
That's right. You used to work over at Robertson.
And I probably dropped to my knees when you walked in, maybe.
Yeah, but it's all coming back to me now. That's where I first saw you.
Yeah,
because and then I saw you at Peanuts.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
how
definitely.
Funny is that? It's just all coming back.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim Steinman.
Yeah. And then fast forward to Drag Race. And that is where your father saw you on Drag Race.
Right. Raja.
Had he seen you in drag before?
No, never. And I always knew that I wanted to be famous doing it or be on TV. I think, you know, I came out or started doing drag at the time when you became so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had you as a template. And I was like, ooh, if she can do that, then I want a version of it. Mm-hmm. I know it probably isn't going to be as big, but I want some of that. And I knew that. But I always felt like I don't think I could ever do this because my parents would see it and their friends right. would see it if I was on television for any reason. I was actually on the Jenny Jones show twice.
Oh my God, remember
Jenny
that?
Jones.
Yeah.
Jenny Jones.
In drag. And I was so afraid that my parents were going to see that, you know, but I just kept doing my life anyway. And I always thought that I would have to wait till my father was gone before I was going to find right. any type of freedom or success in it.
Yeah.
And Drag Race happened. My parents watched it.
Aww.
And the year after that, my father passed away.
Wow.
I know that was very difficult for you.
It was so moving for me because I remember sitting with him at his deathbed and wow. him and I having a very limited conversation because he couldn't really speak. He had a stroke and, you know, he had all this medication. Mm. But he, you know, found enough energy to utter the, ooh, I'm about to cry.
Mm.
But, you know, he told me that he was proud of me. Mm-hmm. And he called me a soldier. He was mm-hmm. like, you're so strong and you're such a warrior. Oh,
mm-hmm.
But it's all true, baby.
It felt so good. It yeah. felt so good.
Wow.
And I think that was the most important moment for me, I think, to have my father acknowledge it and be very impressed by it.
I think for a lot of gay kids, they just wait yeah. and just want
yeah.
that
And
moment.
I kicked ass. And I yeah. knew that if I was going to be on TV and my family were going to watch it, I couldn't be a jerk.
I'll you do
that,
did I'll do that kick
after.
Ass.
Yeah. I'll do it after when no one's looking.
You did yes. kick
you know?
Ass. I mean, some of those gifts still live today. And I'm so proud of you, Raj. I can't wait to see what's next. And I love the music. I love all of it. The books, the this. Do it all. Do okay. it all. Because the kids they need you as their mentor.
I needed this. I needed to have big sister angel time to scold me a bit.
I'm
nicely,
glad.
Nicely.
I'm
Michelle
glad.
Might have scolded me a little bit louder.
Well, you can find Raja on Twitter and yeah. Where else?
Instagram, on Facebook. You'll find me.
And you just, is it just, what's the name that you use on those? Is it?
I use my own name a lot. I yeah. use Sutan because, you know, I'm
How do you spell it for the kids who want to find
like
you?
Like Satan with a U. S-A-N. Rhymes with crouton. S-U-T-A-N-A-M-R-U-L-L. My real name.
So that's on Twitter. That's on Instagram. Yeah. That's on Tumblr and all that stuff.
On Facebook, I'm Raja Gemini. But
okay.
You can, you know,
all right. Well, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you,
on the
thank
podcast.
You. I had such a good time. I was very nervous.
Why?
Just
your family.
I was like, oh my God, I don't think I'm prepared to share much. But I get it. But I guess you too. This is what
no,
you do. You pull it out of
yes,
people a little bit.
Child,
you don't have to think about nothing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for making it so
like
comfortable.
Astroglide.
That's
oh
right.
My God.
Yeah. All right. Well,
like kombucha, honey.
Until next time, Michelle.
Yes, baby.
Bye.
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 Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes.
If you can't love yourself, how in the hell you gonna love somebody else? Eh, eh.